It's deal days at Volkswagen, and by deal days, I mean that our numbers guy's away for the winter holidays, and we're offering sign then drive deals on new V-dubs, by which I mean cars made by Volkswagen. It's a classic case of while the cat's away, the mice will play, and by play, I mean offering sweet holiday deals on the most affordable German-engineered car brand. And by sweet holiday deals, I mean zero down, zero deposit, zero first month's payment, and zero due at signing, excluding tax, title, and other fees, on a new 2025 Tiguan, just in time for the holidays. But our numbers guy won't be on vacation forever. By not forever, I mean deal days, like the holidays themselves, is a limited time thing, and by limited time, I mean you better get your Tuchus into your VW dealership. And by Tuchus, I mean exactly what you think I mean. Volkswagen Deal Days. Claim based on U.S. market and MSRP information available at time of publication for 2025 and 2026 German-engineered vehicles. Zero due at signing, excluding tax, title, license, options, and dealer fees. No security deposit required. Example, $399 a month lease for 36 months for a 2025 Tiguan SE based on an MSRP of $33,045 with destination charges and excluding other noted exclusions. Limited inventory available. Closed-end lease financing available through January 5th, 2026 on approved credit to well-qualified customers by Volkswagen Credit through participating dealers. Offer not valid in Puerto Rico. See your Volkswagen dealer for details or call 1-800-DRIVE-VW.
The Who's Down in Who Newville were making their list, but some didn't know. Walmart has the best brands for their gifts.
What about toys? Do they have brands kids have been wanting all year?
Yep, Barbie, Tonys, and Lego.
Gifts that will make them all cheer.
Do you mean they have all the brands I adore?
They have Nintendo, Nespresso, Apple, and more.
What about...
So the Who answered questions from friends till they were blue. Each one listened and shouted, from Walmart? Who knew? Shop gifts from top brands for everyone on your list in the Walmart app.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the Winklerverse. I'm Bart Winkler, making his second appearance. You were on before for like
yeah,
2 minutes.
I was on via like phone call. I don't think I was on actually on camera.
No, I had you on camera.
Oh, well, I don't remember that.
You were on the episode I did while I was doing my real job. I did a podcast during the commercial break.
The show within the show.
And this guy's on the Bart Winkler show, Carlos Ortiz, ladies and gentlemen.
Hola, I'm waving into the ether, because if you're looking at this, I mean, what are you doing? And if you're listening to this, I'm waving. You can't see me.
Yeah, well, we probably should have done this with the real show, you know, a year and a half ago. Weren't we going to set up video and then we just didn't?
What happened? Well, yeah, that was management and our parent company failing to have the resources in order to do that. So what a quality operation that we work for. And that's why it never manifested. I tried my darndest, but then I realized, you know what? Maybe just doing a job of two people's enough for me rather than three.
I could have always set it up from my end to put me out there, and then I could have figured it out.
Well, you know what? Maybe there's no better time than now. I mean, it's not like we're going anywhere.
That's true. Dude, prepping for a show takes up a lot of my day. I don't have time for other stuff.
Yeah, I know. I mean, what do you people think that we do all day?
I have to find articles that I'm going to read as if it's my own thought. That's tough. I have to
find people that actually want to spend 15 minutes for free talking sports or other nonsense with you. And, you know, that's not as easy. I'm like, oh, yeah, can you send me 10 grand? I'm like, can you send me 10 grand? Yeah, I need it more than you.
You know, when I was first breaking in this business, I always thought, like, there was a time I was on NBC Sports Radio, but it was at like 12:20 in the morning on a Saturday. So I said, yeah, because I get to be on NBC Sports Radio as a guest. That's amazing. Yeah. And then I'm waiting around for this hit, and I'm like, well, I could have one drink. I could have three drinks.
By the time you get on, NBC is CNBC Radio.
I could have...
Or adding letters. QNBC.
I could have seven drinks. You know, when I did a hit with Amy Lawrence recently.
Oh yeah, because she was just like, oh yeah, we need a Packers guy. Let's get Bart. And this is like probably your second conversation ever.
I was I had a seltzer beforehand from my friends at Happy Place Hemp. Promo code Bart. And I think it hit during the interview. I've never told anyone that.
Well, now that's out in the Winklerverse.
Yeah. Carlos Ortiz is here, not to share stories about the Bart Winkler show, which
we can
listen to. What's that?
Which we can on the Fifth Hour podcast.
Yeah. And you want more of this chemistry, just check out the show tonight. But I think this is only my second ever true eye on the enemy. I've talked to you know how you brand the segment, I've talked to Toby Altizer about the Commanders.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Who is in Spain right now for their game. Toby got to go.
Oh, that is awesome, actually, man. I would have loved to go overseas when the Giants, I think when they were in Germany for the Panthers last year. And then I realized, oh, no, I work in radio. So that was not going to be able to. Come on, dog. Really? Dog knocks over my microphone and he's still sniffing it. But then I realized I can't afford that. So that was not going to happen. And this dog really is a broadcast professional. He wants to be involved in here. That's cool of Toby. I wish you could play some like Darth Vader music in post, the Imperial enemy's coming. Although we're just going to lay down like the Star Wars Federation. So it's totally fine. It's the Giants.
Now this is kind of a lame stat because they've only played twice since, but the Packers haven't beat the Giants since 2019.
Yeah, it's not, and I went to one of those games, but it's not indicative of either of these teams right now.
You went to the DeVito game?
I was there. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it was a Monday night. It was cold, and I spent a lot of money. I don't remember any of it, but it was awesome. Although that win single-handedly nuked another one of the Giants' draft positions. So I'm like, this is not going to be a good long-term, but what a great feeling. What a great feeling. I even knew at the time when it was happening, I hated it because I wanted the number one pick, number two pick. And, you know, of course, DeVito decides to have a game of his life. And then he promptly gets get folded the next three games after that. Baltimore, Philadelphia destroy him. It just happened to be against you guys where all the stars aligned. I could not be any more poetic.
All I remember about that game is DeVito like rolled to the right and hit some guy in the corner of the end zone, and he looked like Patrick Mahomes.
I'm almost sure it was Darius Slayton. Don't quote me on that, but it was a wild game, and I wish you guys would have stepped up and actually been a real team, so we could have got a better pick.
I hated that whole run. I was proud of myself because I then saw Shane Gillis kind of have I'm not saying that Shane Gillis listened to me and stole my take. That's something Bill Simmons does.
Bill Simmons does that. That's right.
Yeah. But Shane Gillis said that he feels like Italians are like the last kind of people you can make fun of.
Oh, and I disagree because the Irish are right there with him.
Yeah, I guess maybe the Irish. But I feel like that's why everybody was in on the Tommy DeVito, because everyone's like, hey, it's a Piscetti man, which yeah, I can do because I'm somewhat Italian. I have Italian blood in me.
Yeah, I can't, but I live in New York where there's a bunch of Italians. So it's like almost everybody's Italian by association. You got to do the hand gesture and the ragu. I mean, give DeVito credit.
I'm offended. I'm offended you're doing that because you're not 2% Italian like me.
No, I mean, I get it. I mean, I had pizza yesterday, so I hope that helps balance it out a little bit. But no, credit him being a marketing genius, completely leaning into it with the chains and the living in the mom's basement and the chicken cutlets and all that crap. What a run that was, but I couldn't wait for that to be over.
But could you imagine another, like, and I don't even want to say anything, but if somebody was of a different background and they're like, oh yeah, I'm I don't even want to say anything. I'm like,
yeah, like, I don't know, the if it was instead of Tommy DeVito it was Tommy Diego, the Puerto Rican prince, and he's throwing back foot throws in sandals, and he's not throwing a football, he's throwing coconuts and salsa.
I was about to text you stuff to say, by the way. I was about to just text you stuff that I don't think I can say as a white. And I was going to text you to say it. I'm going to pivot now to why I had you on. And I will tell you that there is genuine fear of the Packers playing the Giants this week. There is genuine fear because the Packers are bad, playing bad. I don't want to say they're bad. They are playing bad.
Playing bad, sure.
The news that Jameis Winston is starting,
that should scare you.
Actually. It is scaring us.
Yeah.
It is scaring us. We don't like it. Should we be worried? Do you guys think you're going to win? Do you want to win?
Well, I mean, there's a couple things going for the Giants.
You lose to Mike Kafka and Jameis Winston, Matt LaFleur is getting fired. So this is this became a big game that I'm suddenly not going to. Why? I don't know.
So it's actually a big game for both of our teams. And it actually might be the first game where both of us who are a fan of our respective teams want that team to lose. Like, you're rooting for Matt LaFleur to get fired.
I'm rooting for the Packers to win.
I'm full blown. I want a Packers win as well. I don't want a Giants win. Because the season's over. Once again, I'm thinking of draft picks before Thanksgiving. To me, it's all about setting up long-term success for the franchise. Beating the Packers does nothing but pretty much assures the Giants won't be in the top three. Because the Saints are still bad. The Jets are still bad. And the Titans are probably not winning another game for the rest of the season with their schedule. So beating the Packers would be a tremendous blow to getting a top three pick, which is what I really want. Even if we don't make the pick, I'll be able to trade down and get assets. That's something Joe Shane likes to do. You won't be in position to do that if you start winning games. I think there are a good number of Giants fans that think we can knock off the Packers. But I think the overwhelming majority realizes the Packers have been playing bad and they have been playing down to their competition. The Philly game, I almost want to toss that out because Philly is not like they were, you know, marching up and down the field. Packers defense still showed up.
Yeah, I don't want to toss out all of it. The defense was great.
The defense was great. It's that Panthers game. It took you completely out of what you wanted to do. Game script completely favored the Panthers and it led into what they want to do. And you said it a couple of weeks ago, the Panthers beat the Packers the way that Matt LaFleur wants to beat teams. And that's, you know, possessions, running the ball, you know, 7-8 minute drives that culminate into Josh Jacobs punching into the end zone instead of Rico Dotto. So, like, I think you can do that against the Giants. So the only thing that's going against the Giants is that the Packers are playing so bad. But it's the Giants at the end of the day with the worst run defense in the NFL. And with a good defense coming into MetLife and a pretty good running game, this is really pointing to me that I think the Packers, I don't know what the line is, but I would take the Packers in the points, and I think you cover comfortably. I think the Giants will show up a little bit just because, all right, it's not Russell Wilson, but I don't think there's enough offensive firepower to keep the defense on its heels. I mean, Micah Parsons knows how to play the Giants. I don't think you guys should be too nervous.
I'm going to look at the line right now. My guess is the Packers.
I would put it at 5.5.
5.5, exactly.
Yeah, that's the number I would have thought.
Exactly what I was going to say.
And I'll hammer it. As a Giants fan, I would hammer Packers 5.5.
7.5.
7.5 is a... The line is
7.5.
Let me not be a puss. I'll take the Packers 7.5. And which one of us is going to race in our six-pack of picks because our numbers are so good to take the Packers 7.5, unless you want to take the Giants and be a complete emotional hedger. I think you guys win this one by 10.
Well, I'm going to say what I said leading into the Super Bowl. Like, there's two outcomes here. Either the Eagles were going to blow out the Chiefs or the Chiefs were going to win by 3 points or less.
Sure.
So in this game, I think the same way. Either the Packers figure it out and get right. Although with Jameis Winston, they will score, but they'll also, like, Jameis
turn the ball over.
Two interceptions, two touchdowns. Yes. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, 1,000. His final line, we could take a look at it right now. His final line will be 253 yards, two scores, two turnovers. What might do the Giants in is someone's going to fumble. Somebody outside of Winston's going to fumble, and that'll be the difference in the game.
Jordan Love will have three touchdowns, but throw for like $178.
Yeah, just a little fade route to Romeo Doubs, or Christian Watson just gets lost in the secondary and completely scorches Deontay Banks, or Javon Holland misses an assignment. I understand the trepidation as a Packers fan going into this game, especially since you're on the road. But MetLife, there is no home field advantage. I've gone to a Packers Giants game at MetLife where there's a lot of Packers fans in the parking lot, a lot of Packers fans in stands, and MetLife has no soul. It's the Giants and Jets playing in a neutral gray cinder block. So if this was a Sunday night game, I'd be a little concerned for you because you guys don't do well against the Giants on Sunday night games. But the fact that this is like one of the afternoons kind of buried under the slate, this is going to be an easy Packers win. Again, Packers by 10, that'll be my prediction.
We don't do well against the Giants on Sunday night games.
No, you don't. Because the last before the DeVito game, I went to Packers Giants. I can't remember what year, but Rodgers was still here. I want to say, was it 2016? And we had our way with the Packers. We destroyed Rodgers. That game was a lot of fun.
There was a game in 2013.
Maybe. Okay. So then it's even older than that. So I got pictures to prove it, but yeah, I got a friend that was drunk and hurled a chair at a group of Packers fans because he's like, "You guys suck." So we had to run over with a couple of Coronas and be like, "Oh, my bad. He's drunk. Which was crazy because he wasn't that drunk. But that was a good time. And you guys got clobbered on that 2013 game.
I know we don't do well against, well, they did beat him once. But Eli Manning beat the Packers twice.
Yeah, Eli Manning just, he was never a great statistical quarterback. But if you had the game on the line with 2 minutes left and he had the ball, you were going to win. Eli Manning was one of the most clutch players in the NFL. And we don't have that. We got Jackson Dart. So God willing, there's some clutch there. What he showed me against the Denver the game, you know, when he needed that go ahead score, that showed me that he was the franchise guy. And I have a lot of faith in Dart now going forward that I never had in like Daniel Jones or Eli in the end of his career. But you're not going to be facing Dart. If you were facing Jackson Dart, I do believe the Giants win by 3 points. But with Jameis Winston, they're gonna score some points. But like you said, the turnovers were almost putting it in chisel, stone and chisel, two turnovers by Winston. And it'll be some like errant throw or he'll take a shot into double coverage. And then you guys will get all pumped up and then promptly score because we can't stop anybody against the run. So Josh Jacobs might go for 200 yards from scrimmage.
Not sure if you have the experience to start your dream job? Good news. These days, it's the skills that count. Udemy can help you get those in-demand skills. Want to be an AI mastermind? Learn with us. Game developer? We've got you covered. AWS certified cloud practitioner? We can help you prep. You'll learn from real-world experts who love what they do so that you can love what you do. Go to udemy.com for the skills to get you started and get set for your dream job.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/special offer. Terms apply.
So, we like to do this. We like to talk to somebody with an outsider's perspective on our teams because we could get a little into it. So you're somebody, Carlos, who you just went through the process of wondering if your coach was going to get fired, and then he did. Do you see similar signs with the Packers right now in their coach? Could you see the Packers coming into the Meadowlands? Or whatever you call it, and Matt LaFleur getting fired after this game.
This is going to be the worst answer that you can possibly hear if you're a Packers fan that is Bart and wants Matt LaFleur gone. For all of you who are Matt LaFleur truthers, take this and celebrate. We could live in a world where the Packers will lose the game and Matt LaFleur will still be the coach. I firmly believe it. Because the Packers right now, that tie is hanging on to your season for dear life. If you lose this game, you're still in the playoff hunt. The only way that Matt LaFleur...
I don't know about that. It's getting late early.
It's getting late early, but the NFC, there's like, they're just... In the NFL in total, there's just so many teams that are kind of stuck in the middle. Like, nobody's really separated themselves. I don't think there's a great team quite yet. The Chiefs...
Yeah, but everybody around the Packers is going to make a run. The Niners are going to make a run. The Bears have a chance to make a run.
Well, you say that, but they still got to play the Seahawks, and the Seahawks are legit too. So maybe Seattle makes the run and not the 49ers. So you would stick have 40. You would have.
I told you the Niners schedule last night. It's like Cardinals, Titans, Panthers. It's really bad.
Yeah.
Browns, yeah, maybe not Browns. That is
a cupcake schedule. But yeah, I think you guys could firmly lose this game, and Matt LaFleur would still be the coach. The only way he's going to get fired is if the Packers miss the playoffs. They're not going to make any coaching changes because what's the alternative? Who's going to let
you
me ask
promote, you promote one of the offensive guys, Adam Stenovich, you You give Halfley the reins, the D coordinator. Like, yeah, the I mean, it's the same with the Giants. What's the alternative? You just give Mike Kafka a job he doesn't deserve for 8 weeks.
Yeah, but the thing with Mike Kafka is at least he's gotten head coaching looks. You know, the Saints interviewed him for the job.
Halfley was the coach at BC, my brother.
Before Christ. So Kafka had some interest in teams for head coaching. Does anybody talk into the Packers OC? I mean, I think your DC will get a look in the offseason. But yeah, I think you just ride it out with LaFleur as much as you. I know you're going to hate it. I also don't see the Packers, much like the Steelers. It's a franchise that's rooted in tradition. Very rarely do the Packers and Steelers, or you know, some of these traditional franchises, make changes in season. I can't imagine.
I don't think you can. I don't think that's a way to manage your team, though.
I don't think so either. But it's again, I would just be completely shocked if the Packers decided after 11 weeks that they've seen enough of LaFleur with as many wins as he's brought in the regular season. And I say regular season because we know what the postseason troubles are. I just can't imagine they're just going to rip the Band-Aid off with 5-6 games left to go when they're still in the mix of things. Whether you feel like they can make a deep run in the postseason or even get in, that's one thing. But while you guys are still in the mix, they're just going to keep everything status quo. If at the end of the season the Packers miss the game, miss the playoffs by one game, or they get eliminated in a wild card run, then I can see Matt LaFleur being done. Because I do believe a lot more fans than you give credit for are over it. It's just you guys are too polite overall. I need you guys to stand up, start cheering, start like yelling things, stop sitting on your hands. You're not watching the Masters. Start cheering and jeering like actual football fans. Come to the 2025 NFL where everybody's animated and excited for four quarters.
Nope. The moment that Packer fans sit down in those bleachers, they're thinking, what's the best time I can leave to beat traffic?
And the answer is always between the third and fourth quarter.
Now, I'm going to play a game with you. It's called Is Jordan Love Good? So here's the scenario for you, Carlos. Jackson Dart has got another concussion, and he talks it over with his family, and he says, I can't do this. I am retiring.
Now let me go get my Clorox.
Right now, I'm retiring. And the NFL feels so bad that they say, Giants, you get to take your pick of quarterback. We're going to draw two names out of a hat, and you get the quarterback. No questions asked.
All right.
With everything that comes with it, you get the quarterback. They pull out Jordan Love and Michael Penix Jr. Who are you selecting?
Oh, that's tough. I thought you were going to make it a little more obvious before you started getting to the tough one.
I thought I did. I guess not.
No, Michael Penix, that might be the barometer. But that tells you everything that you need to know and hopefully gets the answer you're looking for. That the fact that we are strongly considering between Jordan Love.
You and are, Michael not Penix me. Jr.
Like, if that is the line where you want
pick
to
one.
Jordan Love comps, that's a bad look. I'll take Penix because he's left-handed.
What?
Over Jordan Love. I would take Penix.
Jordan Love or Bo Nix?
Oh, Bo Nix. That one's easy.
Jordan Love or Bryce Young?
Give me Bryce Young of last season, yes.
Jesus Christ.
I'll tell you everybody right now, if you haven't listened to the Bart Winkler show, I think Jordan Love is overrated. I think Jordan Love was anointed to be the next
Jordan
guy.
Love or Tua?
He's lefty. No, Jordan Love.
He's a lefty.
Tua's one hit away from retirement himself. No, give me Jordan Love.
Jordan Love or Aaron Rodgers?
No, you got to take Jordan Love. You have to. Aaron Rodgers is 40 going on 83.
Jordan Love or Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones now? I would take Daniel Jones now. I would reunite with Daniel Jones over Jordan Love. Absolutely. Daniel Jones is top five in rushing touchdowns this season.
Jordan Love or Mac Jones?
Mac Jones at this season? I'll take Mac Jones. Are you kidding me? He might be better than Brock Purdy. Give me Brock Purdy over Jordan Love.
Jordan Love or Brandy Love?
Oh, it's Brandy Love, obviously. That, anyway, and that's a rack that doesn't quit. Storage Wars reference. We waited 3 years to see Jordan Love sitting behind Aaron Rodgers and thought it was going to be the exact same thing.
No, we didn't.
No, well, I mean, nationally. I don't know about Packers fans. Nationally, that was the narrative.
That's a dumb narrative.
But that was the narrative. I don't agree with it, but Rodgers sat behind Favre. So when Rodgers came out and started shooting out of the gun, we're like, okay, wow, this guy is legit. Everyone thought that Jordan Love would be the same thing, sitting behind Rodgers for 3 years, and he would just come out and burst onto the scene. And Jordan Love did look good, albeit not as good as Rodgers when he started, but Jordan Love looked really good. Every season since he's been a starter, it looks like there's not much progression. It's like one step forward, a one and a half back. And a lot of that is to do with the relationship that Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur have. LaFleur does not know how to call a game for Jordan Love. He doesn't know how to use him. Like Shane Bowen doesn't know how to use the defensive stars on the Giants, where he's dropping back, you know, Brian Burns, who is the NFL sack leader, into coverage on a 3rd and 20 playing prevent defense, only rushing three guys. Matt LaFleur has got Jordan Love, who's elusive, who's got a good arm, and he's just calling, you know, stupid little, you know, West Coast plays, you know, throw into a wide receiver in the flat. He doesn't know how to use Jordan Love. And there doesn't seem to be a good rapport between the two. Jordan Love also is not assertive like Rodgers was. Like, you know, Jordan Love, I can see him constantly look to the sideline like, hey, what do you want me to do now? Or should we still stick with the
plan? Yeah, that needs to change. I don't know why that's happening.
He's not taking command of the game, which is why I don't feel like he's progressed enough. Like, it's like he's plateaued, but he's still so young.
He's 27.
I mean, it's still, you know, that's still, you know, good 7-8 years that you can have if he's good.
Matt LaFleur was so mad that he got railroaded all the time by Rodgers that he's like, he's got Jordan Love with Stockholm syndrome or something.
That's a great pull, because Jordan Love does look like he's under captive. Like, you know how I say hashtag fade the K? You got to have hashtag free Jordan Love. Let him do what he does. I still don't know what Jordan Love's ceiling could be, because I feel like the way that LaFleur calls a game is just purposely holding Jordan Love back. Like, they're afraid to let him rip it. And
so
I don't know.
Does LaFleur think Love sucks, or does Love suck? I mean, you answered that question.
I think I think LaFleur thinks Love sucks. I personally don't think Jordan Love is all that. But again, I think a lot of it has to do with the way LaFleur utilizes him. Maybe I'm absolutely blind and Love has all the talent in the world. I just don't see it the way that LaFleur calls a game.
All right, so I enjoyed our little Jordan Love game so much that I'm going to cut it and play it on our actual show.
Oh, anything to get to the commercial break. That's what we all learned yesterday. The job of a radio host is literally,
I mean, it's true. That's why I said it on the show.
Just land the plane in the commercials.
So should I play it tonight when you're there, like a little showception, or should I do it tomorrow when I don't have you near me?
No, I would play it today. The reason for that is maybe we can just kind of react on it and turn one segment into two segments.
Yeah,
let's do Jordan Love segment in a matter of like 12 hours.
Let's do Jordan Love segments, and then I'll let's do that.
Yeah, I like this. I gotta figure out. I'm gonna go through the entire list of like 32 starting quarterbacks. Maybe I'll even throw a couple of high end backups, and just finally see where I would have Jordan Love slotted. I think without even looking, like thinking about all the quarterbacks right now, I honestly think I might have Jordan Love in the 20s. I think there might be 20 NFL quarterbacks I would have that I would prefer over Jordan Love right now.
All right. Well, we got a segment for tonight.
Nice. Look at all that production that I'm doing.
So we're teasing on the podcast for the show, and then the show is going to promote the podcast.
That's right.
Should have been doing this a long time ago.
It's all a figure eight of self-promotion.
Carlos Ortiz, a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, this was great. I feel like this is exactly what I do, except I don't get paid for it.
And we're going to keep it that way.
Yeah, this is literally the Bart Winkler Show podcast, but not affiliated with Odyssey. Intler Winklerverse. I'm excited to be here again. Packers by 10. Happy to come back if you ever want me to come back.
All right, I do. And now I'm going to cut the video there. But this is on the audio. And I'm telling audio listeners that coming up on the show will be somebody from what's now called the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network, 1250 AM. Mitch Thunder Nellis is going to join me, who I actually just talked to earlier than you, but I'm putting you first and then Mitch on the podcast.
Wow.
Both videos separate. Yeah. Both videos separate. I'm also reminding listeners of the pod that you can score 25% off Happy Place Hemp with the gummies and the seltzers. Just use the promo code BART. Carlos, when you go to happyplacehemp.com and you can pick up, they'll ship to you usually free of charge. If you get like one pack of seltzers, there might be a little bit of a charge, but if you get a bunch, they wipe that away. So again, they'll ship it to you very, very quickly. Located in Muskego, you can check them out in person, ask them some questions, or funnel them through me and I can be able to help you out. Again, I had one of their seltzers before I went for a walk around the neighborhood, talked to Amy Lawrence, and was high while being interviewed. At one point, I had to sit down on somebody's landscaping rocks to just like calm myself.
I'm like, you know, what I was talking about the promo code before I got on. We had a more entertaining segment.
Yeah. Promo code BART, happyplacehemp.com. I will now take an insert commercial break here, and you will then hear Thunder. And Carlos, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for your time.
Oh, my pleasure. See you in a couple hours.
Bye, buddy. And we welcome into the Winklerverse Mitch Thunder Nellis for his debut.
Dude, I'm excited. I watch your clips on TikTok all the time. Obviously, we've known each other for a while. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be in the Winklerverse.
Well, I had tweeted, and that's very nice. I'll use that for a promo if we did promos around here. I have a lot of burn bridges I'm trying to rebuild.
Yeah.
But you're not one, are you?
No, definitely not. Never. I'm a firm believer in like all of us who love talking about sports for a living, like should literally just all get into a room once a month and just like hang out, because 98% of us like each other. And the other 2% like wouldn't show up anyway. So like we should all be on the same team. Like whoever you work for or whatever your title company is, like we should all be on the same team. Like we should all be on each other's shows. We should all be collaborating, not compete. You know, let the salespeople compete or whatever they do. We should all just be collaborating and having a good time.
Somebody had asked me, why doesn't anyone in like radio get along from different stations? And I was like, I don't know. It's just like, I don't know. I didn't have a good enough answer that I could explain it. I guess
no,
there's no good reason for it.
There isn't. And I think for the most part, people do. Like going to the Brewers playoff games, like I saw a bunch of guys from iHeart where I used to work, and I was like, you know, and again, like 9 out of 10 of them, I get a big hug from, and the other one I never was friends with anyway. And then, you know, I'm with Odyssey now, but like I was with Good Karma for 10 years. And when I see all those people, like it's all cordial and friendly. And, you know, again, there might be one or two people that I didn't get along with, but I probably didn't really get along with them when I worked there anyway. And so I don't really want to get along with them. But for the most part, I think we get along. And it's like, it's dumb that like people have that perception, or that like the industry tries to pit us against each other. Like I get that ratings matters and revenue matters and all that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, like we just love sports. Like we're not in politics for a reason. If we wanted to go be Dan O'Donnell, we could go get rich and sell our souls. Right. But we don't want to do that. We want to actually talk about sports. And I love Dan. Like, Dan's a friend of mine.
I just saw Dan at a soccer game.
Yeah, and Dan used to be a sports guy. Like, Dan, growing up on TMJ, was doing sports with Armin. And, like, he would fill in on the Mitch Nellis show when I first started there at iHeart. And now it's like, now he's big time. And, like, that's good. Like, that's great. But, like, I don't want to talk about politics because I don't want half the people to hate me. Not that I need to be loved, but I like being liked.
I don't know if this is out of pocket or not, but when I talked to Dan at a game, and I think I'm pretty sure we like hugged goodbye.
Yeah, I like that. That's what it should. Was it like bro hug? Was it handshake into the hug, or was it full frontal hug?
It was more of a familiar, like a family type. Like,
yeah,
there's a bro. I don't know.
No, that's great. Just sort of
happened. Yeah, that's Mitch Nellis. Thunder, of course, he's on not just 1250 AM The Fan, 105.7 FM The Fan, the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Yes, yep, Green Bay, Wausau, and Duluth Superior now.
Yeah,
I'm big in Duluth. They love me, man.
Oh, yeah, I could tell just looking at you.
Come on.
You're doing the show with Tommy and Mason. That seems to have been a good little trio for you boys.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, Tommy is, you know, our rising young talent. He's 25, about to be 26. And he's just like, he's that guy who like works 27 hours a day. Like he says yes to everything. Probably we have to teach him to say no a little bit because we all get burned out at some point at that age. But he's just like crushing it, you know, true Cudahyan, and just like loves everything Wisconsin sports. And Mason's just like one of the good guys, like just a nice guy, you know, five kids at home, you know, driving his kids around in their whatever cruiser vehicle they have, and misses being in Green Bay, misses his life there, but is ready for the next chapter. And this is part of it for now. I think that like he should go work for the NCAA at some point and clean it up. He's very into like the business of sports and the craziness of everything going on with the NCAA. And he's super smart, so he'd be really good at it. But for now, we'll take him on the radio because he's a lot of fun to work with.
I think that would be for me. We're talking, and it's hitting the fan with the Packers right now. I know they're 5-3-1, but things are not pretty. No. I would think, you know, I've done shows with Leroy and Gary, and these are former Packers.
Yep.
But Mason still, and even Kuhn, who's at the station now. I feel, and Kuhn does the broadcast for the games. They're still like relatively fresh and like in it. You know, I would feel like, because all I want to do is crap on LaFleur. I don't like this guy, you know?
Right.
And I would, I don't know. I is that like something you navigate or you just let it fly?
You know, I think it was a lot harder for Mason last year. We started the show last October, so we've been on for about 13 months now. I think it was really tough for him the first couple months. Like it was still a we. It's not quite as much of a we. It's still a we, but definitely not as strong as it was. Like he'll start a show. Like he started yesterday, and it was like you could tell he didn't want to take them to task. But by the second segment, man, he was crapping on everybody just like all of us were. Like he was in on it. And he's just gonna be honest. Like he's just
you don't hold back. You don't feel like you have to hold back or anything.
Oh, I don't hold back at all. No, I'll listen, if I go too far and I go to a place he's not comfortable with, like he'll tell me, and he'll tell me on the air and he'll be like, Mitch, you can say that, but I'm not going to say that. And I'm like, that's fine. Like, I'm cool with that. But I just like, listen, I'm going to be me. Like, and I don't know if I agree with you about LaFleur. Like, I don't know if I like LaFleur or Love. Like, I might not like either of them. Like, I think they're both to blame. And I'm just like, man, I don't know who to crap on first. I feel like I know more about playing than coaching. So like when I see Love not throw to an open receiver, I know I can crap on him as opposed to, I don't know how to build a whole scheme of an offense. I've never called plays before. If it was baseball or basketball, I know those. I don't know football at all. So I just yell at the air.
Well, let me talk about Love first. Let's talk about Love first.
Okay.
Because I did not like the pick at all when they made it.
Okay.
I understand, you know, why.
Yep.
And I do think they moved on at the right time. I had gotten very fatigued with Rodgers. you know, his last season and then whatever performance that was against the Lions when they had a playoff spot on the line at home, right. I thought was just awful. So I was ready to move on. I, of course, would have wanted a weapon or something to help try to win now. And yep. what I had said was for this draft pick to work, the Packers need to win another Super Bowl with Rodgers to prove that they were right to move on or at least get his replacement. And then Love needs to win one. So I've been hard on Love, and recently, like, I've seen enough games of his where he's good. I'm okay to say he's good.
Yes, I will agree with that. He is good.
Yeah, but now where in the rankings is that? And I think that matters for a lot of people. He is good, and I think there were some games, especially that 8-game stretch a couple of years ago.
It was amazing.
It was amazing. And so I feel like Packer fans were trepidatious about Love, and then we saw some really good stuff, and then instead of being like, all right, we have another quarterback, it worked,
right?
We went, oh my God, could we possibly have three straight Hall of Famers? So I do think there was a lot there, like, for Jordan Love to constantly be, yeah, he's constantly measured to Rodgers. But then he's also constantly measured because of the contract that he has, which is like, that's just what happens when you have a quarterback. That's what you pay them. So I feel like Jordan Love gets inaccurately compared to things that, like, he's judged in ways he shouldn't be judged. But then again, the game he had on Monday was very bad, even though Jalen Hurts was only maybe one or two throws better, honestly, in that game.
Right, right.
Love, well, just like Love, the deep throw to Watson where he could have led him to the sideline. When yep. when somebody's calling a play out,
I mean, that's awful.
That's awful. He's got to call timeout. And so I'll end on this, where I complained a lot that Rodgers checked out of LaFleur's plays.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't have. Maybe I would like Jordan Love to take some more autonomy, but I don't feel like LaFleur is letting him. But is he not letting him because LaFleur wants the control, or is Jordan Love just unable to do that? And I don't know where that lies with Jordan Love, and I think that is a legitimate complaint.
And I don't know if any of us know. I think that's absolutely the prescient question of the moment for the Green Bay Packers. One thing I want to go back on for you is, you know, Brett Favre comes to Green Bay and Sterling Sharp is there. And I know they're not Hall of Famers, but Robert Brooks and Antonio Freeman are there. Then we go to Jordy Nelson and Greg Jennings and Javon Walker and Davante Adams, of course. Whether it was Favre or Rodgers, they were playing with Pro Bowl wide receivers. Did they make them all Pro Bowl wide receivers? Yeah, maybe they did. Maybe a Robert Brooks wasn't quite Pro Bowl, but he became Pro Bowl because of Favre, or Rodgers made some, you know, however that ended up working.
Right.
Jordan Love isn't working with any of those guys.
No.
And I think that's another thing that we need to remember, is that as good as we think Dobbs or Reed or Wicks or one day Golden might be, and as good as we really think Tucker Kraft will be, and it's and the injury obviously derailed a little bit of his coming out party this year, it's Jordan Love does not have the receiving core that either Favre or Rodgers ever had. They always have better receivers. So when you say 2 years ago, we had that eight, nine games where Jordan Love was like the best quarterback on earth, it sure would have been nice if the Packers had gotten a number one instead of saying, oh, we got these three young guys and we think together they're really good. Well, they're not that good. They're okay. Like, and now we have an offensive line that last year was really good and this year decided to be horrible. The move of Elgton Jenkins to center was a terrible decision. The Aaron Banks signing has been a huge failure to this point. And all those things let down a quarterback who is good but not great. If he had the same receiving core as Aaron Rodgers, if he had last year's offensive line, Jordan Love would be much better this year than he's been. And Matt LaFleur's play calling would probably be much better than it's been because the team would be better. Maybe the offense, including the coaching staff, just isn't that good. Maybe they're just good and that's all they are.
the LaFleur aspect of it, I am less ambiguous
about. Yeah, I know. I've seen your stuff. You are not on the LaFleur train. You are not a 37-year-old female who just like forgives all his sins because he's hot.
I've said on the show, the national show, I think he would have been fired if he was ugly.
He might, you know, you could be, or if he dressed like a slob, or
if he looked like this, if he looked like me.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Like, I ain't losing to the Panthers at home and keeping my job.
No, but you're not losing to the Panthers at home.
No, you're right, because I play.
I'm giving you that credit part. You are not losing that game.
But I feel like, you know, with LaFleur, one thought that I've always had on him is he needs to fail at something before he knows how to succeed at it. Ooh. So there's always whenever he was in a new situation. I like that. Yeah, whenever he was in a new situation, and this goes back year one, year two, year three, year whatever, mm-hmm. when he faced something for the first time, he didn't know what to do, and he usually did the wrong thing. And I've always also said that if he could freeze time and go up to his office and figure out what to do on this third down or this fourth down and come back down, then I think he might come up with the right play. I think he has... I think he knows football. I don't think he's an idiot. I think that he obviously got to this position based on something. Yeah, but
he knows ball to an extent.
Yeah. But now that he is here with Jordan Love, and again, maybe the Love aspect of it is bigger than I think, but when he's calling these plays where it's run, set up Jordan Love in a third down, I said the other day, Matt LaFleur needs Jordan Love. He's setting himself up where Jordan Love needs to be good for Matt LaFleur's play calling to work, but Matt LaFleur's play calling doesn't work. And so Jordan Love's not good. Like, he's not setting Jordan Love up to succeed. Mm. And so is that Jordan Love or is that LaFleur? But then it's just, it's every little other thing, you know, and I hate to do this. You know, I didn't have a beer with him this summer. I hate to do this. I don't like the demeanor. I don't like the emotion. I don't like the approach. I don't like the lack of confidence. It's more than just the coaching. I mean, and maybe this is, you know, you can Mason Crosby me and say, you don't agree with it, but I don't think I like him as a person.
Ooh. Okay. Interesting. I don't know. Like, having watched him, I don't know.
Like, if this guy was my boss, I would leave my employment.
Right. I think he's just confused. Like, I think he hears from too many sides. I don't know if he's listening to Goody and to policy and to what Jordan Love wants and echoes. I think there's still echoes of Aaron Rodgers in his head.
And there might be some backwards, but there also might be, he might be thinking of, I could be a lame duck coach. Like, we're now just saying, oh, the seat is hot. But he came into the season knowing he didn't get an extension, knowing there's pressure on him. And so if he's looking that way and he's playing not to lose against Dallas, or if he's playing like, I don't want to make a big mistake, or I don't want to set Jordan Love up to make a big mistake.
Right.
Maybe he's, you know, that happens sometimes where he's not playing to win. He's playing not to lose. And when that happens, you're going to lose more than you're going to win.
Yeah.
Although they're 5-3-1. I get it.
Yes, but it's not a 5-3-1 that feels good. It's not a 5-3-1 that makes any logical sense based on giving up 13 points a game in their losses and scoring 28 points in their wins. I mean, the other thing I worry about with him is his first 3 years, he had a .795 winning percentage. He won 80% of his games with Aaron Rodgers. Then they go 8-9 and have that miserable season in 2022. Since those first three seasons, he's 33-26-1, a .558 winning percentage, which is pretty pedestrian. Like, if you're supposed to be the Green Bay Packers, and we're not, you know, we're not the insert bad team. We're, you know, obviously the Browns, but we're not the Bears. We're not a bad team.
You can't say the Browns anymore.
I know. .558 doesn't get you into the playoffs. So he's, and I know he's made the playoffs in those 3 years almost by default, or two of the three. And I'm just like, I don't know. Again, I think he's a good coach. I don't think he's a bad coach. I do have one theory to throw by you, though. because I know a lot of people are ripping on him for like when he took the card and he went to the Gatorade rack and he's like going
scratching off lottery tickets.
So what I think he's doing is I think he doesn't trust Jordan Love. And I think he was crossing off all the plays that he knew he couldn't call because he didn't trust Jordan Love to make the right decision on those plays. So he was just going to call the plays that he trusted Jordan Love because he doesn't think Jordan Love is either smart or that Jordan Love can read the field. And then I don't know if Jordan Love trusts Matt LaFleur to make the right play call. Like, I think that this might devolve. I don't think LaFleur is going to lose the locker room like people are talking about, but I think he and Love are in a really dangerous place right now.
What if they lose to the Giants?
I mean, listen, it became more realistic with Jameis Winston being announced the starter, right? Like, I'd take him over Russell Wilson any day. If they lose to the Giants, it just gets louder.
You got to fire him.
I think so. But we're in Wisconsin. We're in Midwest Nice. Like, McCarthy's the only coach in the history of the franchise that's been fired midseason. And I don't know that they're going to look. I don't know that Policy, who I think instead of McCarthy, I think Policy's more likely to make a change. I think he's still going to look at it like, you know what? We're not winning anything this year anyway. Why don't we just spend the rest of the season figuring this out? I'm going to figure it out. And then at the end of the year, I'm going to let LaFleur go anyway. So why make a mess in the middle of the season? Because we're not winning anything this year anyway. We're a year away.
Can I tell you something about Midwest Nice?
You may.
I'm glad that we're nice. And I think I am I'm a kind-hearted person.
I think so. I think we both lead with kindness, yes.
Yeah. Now, sure, as we talked earlier, there's the nonsense that happens. But I'm a kind-hearted person. I feel like the Midwest Nice stuff, we need to dial it back a little.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like every time visiting fans come in here, they write like op-eds about how great of an experience. This isn't Disney World. Yeah. We're not trying to get a good review score. We're not trying to get you to come back. Now, you could be nice. Be nice. Don't be a jerk. I go to road games every year. I don't want to be like terrorized and bullied and yelled at and sworn at, but right. I don't need to feel welcomed.
Right.
Like I'm coming in, I'm invading your stadium and I'm going to leave and write an op-ed about how great it was, do a blog about how I mean, write up. I mean, this is, and then we see that and we're like, oh, that makes me feel bless my heart. No. We're too nice. Stand up. If there's somebody behind you, they have to stand up then.
That's right. It's okay to stand up.
We need to.
I agree with that.
Jeez, we just.
No, I agree with you.
We're not. I say this all the time, Thunder. I say we are some of the best fans in our house. We are some of the best fans on the radio. Some of the best fans in the car. Some of the best fans at the restaurant. You got us into a stadium. We're garbage.
Well, we're too nice. I agree with that.
Too nice.
We were talking about that. I was talking about that with Trevor Thomas on Inside Wisconsin Sports about like they had, you know, a podcaster walking around Lambeau and talking to Philly fans.
All that.
Yeah. And they're like, and they're like, oh yeah, we never would have thought this. Like blank the Packers, fly Eagles or whatever. And it's like, and I said it on the radio. I said, we need to have a little bit more of a prick in us. Like we don't need to be throwing batteries at Santa Claus. Like we don't have to be Philly. But we got to have a little bit more of an edge. There needs to be a little bit, and it comes out when Chicago comes up, right? With Chicago, there's that rivalry. So whether it's the Cubs or the Bears especially, there is that with Chicago fans because, like, they touch that nerve. It's okay to have the edge when Philly comes to town or when Houston comes to town or when LA comes to town or whoever comes to town. It's okay to have an edge with them. We don't have to be best friends with them. We could be best friends.
Even within our own teams, Thunder, man, it's always like you rip on LaFleur, you rip on Jordan Love. You're even just trying to be constructive criticizing these people. And there's enough people that are turned off because you're saying something negative about their favorite team. They think you're not a fan.
Right. And it's actually the exact opposite, right? It means you are a fan. It means you care. It means you are a fanatic. And it's okay to call it like you see it. And if I don't like something Jordan Love's doing and you don't like something that Matt LaFleur is doing, we can argue about whether it's who's to blame or whatever, but we both know we want the Packers to win at the end of the day. Like, we're not arguing this because we want the Packers to lose. Even the Badgers right now, like, maybe, like, there are people there who want Fickell out and who want the Badgers to lose to get Fickell out. But at the end of the day, they'd rather the Badgers be successful. That's just the path they see to the Badgers being successful. And we're not there with the Packers yet, but, and I hope we don't get there. I hope we figure this out and it all gets settled. But
I'm there.
Yeah. So you're there. And that's okay. That's it. Listen. It's
well,
okay.
If you want LaFleur fired, who would you hire?
Not my job. No, not I my hate job. That question. I hate that. Man, I said the other day that Bo Melton has a lot to answer for. Bo Melton dropped that fourth down pass, and then on special teams, he went into the end zone. And as a gunner, you know not to go into the end zone if you're trying to save that punt and down it at the 1 or 2 yard line. So I texted Sparky that, and Sparky's like, well, who would you have replace him? I'm like, Sparky, that's not my job. I don't care. I don't give a crap. Like, that's why Goody gets paid 6 or 7 figures, and I get paid $12. Like, that's not my job. I just know I don't like what I see.
Yeah, the job of the fan, which is short for fanatic, people don't know, is to point out the problems.
Yes.
So that the team can fix it. That's our job. We're not getting paid. We're paying you.
But again, knowing at the end of the day, we want our team to win. We're not pointing out things we don't like because we want them to lose or we're booing against them. If we boo the Packers, it's because we don't like the effort or the play call because we want them to win. We don't want them to lose.
Mitch Thunder Nellis, would you like to come back on sometime?
Oh my gosh. Are you kidding me? Into the Winklerverse? I would be honored. I would be privileged. It would warm my soul.
Mm-hmm. We'll come on and talk Bucks once we want Doc Rivers fired in a couple of months.
I mean, I never wanted Doc Rivers here. I know they're doing better this year, but I'm like born and raised in Boston. So I love that Doc won a championship 17 years ago. Mm-hmm. But Doc's not my guy.
Mitch, appreciate your time. Thanks for stopping into the Winklerverse.
High interest debt is one of the toughest opponents you'll face. Unless you power up with a SoFi personal loan. A SoFi personal loan could repackage your bad debt into one low fixed rate monthly payment. It's even got super speed, since you could get the funds as soon as the same day you sign. Visit SoFi.com/power to learn more. That's SoFi.com/POWER. Loans originated by SoFi Bank N.A. Member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS 696-891.